This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. I was introduced to his thrilling writing with Cemetery Girl, and then The Forgotten Girl was a bestseller last year. Now David Bell has a new novel out, Somebody I Used to Know. David Bell, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it.
I want to talk about your Ohio roots here, because I see a lot of Ohio here in Somebody I Used to Know. You spent quite a bit of time here in the Buckeye State.
Well, yeah, I was born in Cincinnati, and I grew up there, and then I came back later, and I went to graduate school there. I went to graduate school at Miami and at UC. The only school I didn't attend was Xavier, I guess. So I went to high school at St. Xavier. Does that count for anything? I don't know.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, Ohio is home and very familiar to me. So I've set most of the books there in made-up towns.
I was going to talk about the various made-up towns that are in your new novel, Somebody I Used to Know. And I wondered what makes Ohio such a fertile ground for writers, because I am constantly surprised by all the folks I cross paths with who are writers with Ohio connections. What do you think it is here in the soil here in Ohio?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, people around the country have the impression that if you live in the Midwest or if you live in a small town in the Midwest, that it's bland and it's flat and it's just cornfields and things like that. And so I think sometimes using that setting and people's perceptions of that setting in a book like the books I write can be to my advantage, because people have that assumption that, oh, nothing ever happens in a town like this. But really, anybody who's ever lived in a small town or a mid-sized town, or anybody who's lived or spent time in the Midwest, knows that just as many crazy things happen in the Midwest and in small towns as happens in big cities. In fact, you know, the reason I choose to set my stories in these kind of mid-sized towns is because I think you kind of have a close-knit community where people know each other well, and so the surprise when people do these crazy things is even greater. One of the scariest things I think that I write about is when somebody thinks they know somebody really well, when they think, I know this person close to me really well, and then they find out they don't really know that person as well as they thought, when there's some hidden secret, some deep, dark secret or something from the past. And I think when you set that in a small town where everybody thinks they know each other, everybody thinks they understand what goes on there, the surprise can be even greater.
I want to ask about your love of the thriller, the mystery. What attracts you to this style of writing? You do it so well, and as I was reading Somebody I Used to Know, you start out with this fella who sees a dead lookalike of his college girlfriend who died in a fire 20 years earlier in a grocery store. And from there, it goes on such a wild ride with your main character, Nick Hansen. You know, I'm constantly surprised. I'm immediately sympathetic of him, but boy, you really provide quite a roller coaster to enjoy. Where does your love of that thriller come from, David?
I think the best writing advice I've ever been given is to write the kind of book you would like to read. And I like nothing more than picking up a book that I can't put down, a book that I'm reading and I'm saying to myself, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and I know I have to get up early the next day, and I'm saying, I just have to read one more chapter. I have to know what happens next. I don't think that has to be a thriller. I think any really compelling book can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the kinds of books I try to write, the kind of book that people cannot put down. They have to keep reading. They're constantly surprised. They think they know the direction the book is going. They think they know who did it or why it happened, and then there's something around every corner that changes the way they think.
I'm speaking with David Bell, who's been keeping me up at night while I was reading his new novel, Somebody I Used to Know, mystery with quite a few twists in it. If you'd like to learn more about it, you can visit our website, wvxu.org. And David, I also had a little bit of this resonate as a middle-aged man, too, because Nick Hansen is a 40-year-old, 20 years out of college, still pining for his college girlfriend, a failed marriage between college and his present day. And the girl he sees in the grocery store ends up dead with his name and address in her pocket written on a piece of paper. And I see the lost and unrequited love, the what if with his college girlfriend, and the old connections. You were talking about the people you think you know and you don't, and that comes into play quite a bit in Somebody I Used to Know.
Yeah, it does. The love story part of the book is somewhat autobiographical. I'm married, and I've been married for 17 years now. And I met my wife in college when we were 20, just like the characters in the book. Now, she didn't die in a house fire, but we did break up for a few years after college. And so I often look back at that time when we were young and dumb and we didn't know what we were doing in terms of a relationship. And I think, well, what if we had not gotten that right? What if we hadn't figured out what was going on and gotten back together? That would have been a regret that both of us would have lived with our entire lives. Or what if something had happened to one of us during that time we were broken up and we never had the chance to get back together? So that element of the story, which I think makes Somebody I Used to Know a little different than my other books because it's a thriller and it has this love story in it, that really came right out of my real life, thinking about, you know, this relationship I have with my wife and how it could have gone in a different direction if we hadn't figured everything out.
I smiled more than once when Nick was looking at the younger college kids and pining for the old days. That had a little bit of resonance for me, too, you know, when you get to be of a particular age where, you know, the glorification of the past always comes through. And I see that happen with Nick, too, as part of the love story. So not only was, you know, quite caught up in the story, but you also gave me a chuckle or two at times.
Well, I teach college students, so I'm around them every day. And on the one hand, it's a way to kind of still feel connected to being in college because I work at a university and I'm around students. On the other hand, it's also there's a little bit of distance for me. So I see them going through the same things I went through. You know, when they're approaching graduation, they come to me and they're English majors and they're saying, what am I going to do with my life? You know, what do I do next? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I have the wisdom of my advanced years and I say to them, you know, relax. It'll be okay. Take your time. You don't have to figure it all out when you're 21. It'll work out somehow. So, yeah, I'm sure that a lot of that went into the book, that feeling of looking at these young people and saying, I remember what it was like to be back then. There's a part of me, of course, that always thinks, I'm glad I'm not going through that again.
Yes, indeed.
I'd love to have the 25 years back, you know, but I'd want to have the wisdom that I've acquired over these 25 years. So I don't think anybody's going to make me that offer, so I'll just keep going with the hand I'm dealt here.
Well, knowing you went to Miami, I must say I was a little tainted when I read Somebody I Used to Know, because your description of the college town, well, sounds a lot like Oxford, I guess you could say. Do you ever get called out by some readers for, you know, oh, well, you're writing about Miami there and you got this wrong, but this is a work of fiction. But do people still bother you about that at times, David?
Well, people always want to know if it is based on a real place. To be honest, I wasn't thinking of Miami as much as I was thinking of my undergraduate alma mater, Indiana University. But if this goes out in Ohio and that helps more people buy the book to think that it's Oxford, I don't know who has the bigger alumni network, but yeah, that's fine. Some people always make comments about stuff like that. They want to know if it's really based on a real place. They want to know if it's based on real people. The weird thing that happens is with naming characters, you know, in Cemetery Girl, I named a character Tracy, and Tracy just happened to be a stripper. But to me, I'm thinking, Tracy is a fairly common name. I mean, everybody knows lots of men and women named Tracy. It's a fairly common name. I happen to have two friends, two good friends named Tracy, who came to me later and said, "Oh, you named the stripper after me in the book." And I was saying, "Well, no, it's just a name. It's a fairly common name." So yeah, I think people like to try to figure that stuff out, but I'm fictionalizing things as much as is humanly possible. So it's all made up. It's all mixed up in my head somehow.
Somebody I Used to Know, the new thriller from David Bell, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I was curious about feedback, because I know mystery readers that probably like the same stories you like, David, are a particular crowd. They all have their favorite forms of mystery. What are reader reactions like when you encounter them at book festivals like Books by the Banks?
You know, by and large, the reactions are really positive, and going to something like Books by the Banks is great because authors get to meet people face-to-face. There are people who have read my books, and they'll send me emails, or they'll comment on things on Facebook, and then I end up finally getting to meet them face-to-face at a place like that, and it's really great. So I really think it's a nice advantage of the internet and social media that you can hear from readers pretty quickly. I remember back when I was a kid, you know, I'd read a book by an author I liked, and I would think, oh gosh, I want to write him a letter, I want to correspond with this person, but the only way you could do that would be to send a letter to the publisher in New York, and then I guess the publisher in New York might send it to the author, and it seemed like, well, this was never going to happen, that you were going to hear from an author. So I think this closeness between author and reader that has come up through social media is really a good thing for getting readers involved and getting readers to continue to read, and it gives authors an opportunity to know that there are live people on the other end reading the book and responding to it. It can really help keep authors going, I think.
It can be a double-edged sword, too, but we won't go there right now.
But it can be because occasionally, you know, you get the email. It's very rare, but occasionally, you know, you get the email from somebody who says, "I'm just writing to let you know how much I hated your book. You know, I'm writing to let you know I thought your book was really stupid."
Yeah, right.
And what do you say to that? Like, gee, thanks for taking the time to tell me how stupid you think my book is. I appreciate it. Have a nice day. And so, you know, that is kind of the other side of the coin. But that's very rare, I think.
We only have a moment or two left, but I wanted to ask a question I posed to Lauren Groff, whose book Fates and Furies I just read, which it just has many layers and many tendrils that are all, you know, interwoven throughout the book. I see the same with what happens to Nick in your new novel, Somebody I Used to Know. How do you keep track of the plot? I mean, are you a plotter, or do you let that story unfold on its own?
Well, I make an outline to start. And for Somebody I Used to Know, it was a pretty short, it was really just like a short summary, like maybe 5 double-spaced pages of what I thought was going to happen in the book. And that's just kind of a roadmap. That's kind of the structure of what might happen. Then as I write, all kinds of things crop up that I hadn't imagined that are there to surprise me. And I think if I'm surprised by things, then hopefully the reader will be surprised by things. So even though I do have a little outline, things occur to me as I'm writing. Things make more sense as I'm writing. And so I hope those are some of the things that really jolt the reader as they're reading.
Well, the surprises in your books are always a thrill to readers. Thank you for your time this morning, David.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. I really appreciate it.
David Bell. His latest is Somebody I Used to Know. You can learn more about David and his work at our website, wvxu.org. You can also meet and talk to David at Books by the Banks, the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, coming up October 17th at the Duke Energy Convention Center from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., The book club at 91.7 will be there with a table and dozens of authors. You can see details about that on our website as well. This is the book club at 91.7.